Funny thing, they fished these crabs out of their rice fields, interesting enough, too. So, you know, so there's crab, and then we go, okay, all right, we'll deal with the crab. So we start eating, and then first taste, and just kind of went, oh, my. Well, that's not sweet and sour. See, they love their, these guys in this area, they call it, we like something Thai. Papaya salad, that's Thai. This is Somtham Lao from the country of Laos, which we're right on close to the border of there. So they like their taste a little bit different. And what they do, they put this something called Bla Ra in there. And you see the fish in that little container? Well, they put it in there, and they might put a top on it probably for a year. And they get some nice fermented juice out of there, and they put that in their dishes. So what a twist we had. And what a good lesson, because wherever we went from then on, if people say, what kind of somtham we want somtham Thai, please. While some of our colleagues were, oh, get now, I like blah, blah. I go, kick him out of here. You guys don't know what good taste is. To them, that was good taste. I go, what's wrong with you guys? How could you be like that? Last week, that guy is just, why did I put that guy on the screen? But last week we were talking about, you know, these, you know, bottle suckers, right? People who receive Christ, but they're just still, you know, they just need the basics. You know, they're still learning the elementary truths, and they learn them over and over and over again. And we were talking about that, even our new members class, pretty much, you know, the sanctification process, and we'll talk about that maybe another time. But they're not moving on. And one of the big things is that, you know, the draw of going back to where they used to be is strong. And even for us, I mean, well, for me, when I was saved at 29 years old, you know, I had a lot of stuff attached to me. You know, and there's times when, you know, after I received Christ, you know, I would feel that tug and I would go back that way. And same thing for these guys. They're starting to slip away. He sees this. This author knows him well, whoever he is that wrote it. But God is the one that really wrote it through him to these people. And it wasn't just to these particular people, but it's for us even today. You know, you're slipping away. What's happening? You know, what's drawing you back from your commitment to Christ? Have you not tasted his love? Or maybe you have, but it just wasn't satisfactory. Or maybe it's just too much change. I don't. But all these things come into the factor, factoring in on these things. So, you know, so we go on here into the, you know, with how God works. And this passage that we're in is probably one of the more striking and scary passages in the Bible. Did you know that? This really shocks a lot of people. Can you lose your salvation? Can I lose my salvation? So we have a beware of the twist, because there's a plot line twist. And don't forget who's in this, because he's the director. God is a director of everything. And he puts these little plot. I mean, if you look at the Bible, how many plot line twists did you see? Just look at the life of a Noah or a life of Moses, you know, a life of Abraham, a life of Joseph. What a plot line twist that is. What a plot line twist is. Look at King David. This is shepherd. Now he's king? Shepherd? King? Ooh. You know, Peter. Look at Peter. Oh. This guy, pride? Ooh, he's one of the leader of the church. You know, Paul, killer of Christians, became somebody who died for Christ. A lot of plot line twists in there. That's who he is. So with a God like that, I think we should expect some little twist in this passage today as well. So let's pray before we get into this. Father God, We thank you for your word that we can get into it and to learn and to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are. And we just ask that you open our hearts and that your Holy Spirit will speak and move in ways that only you can. It is by your power that we are saved, the power of your word. So we just thank you for that. And we praise you for this time together. And may your name receive all the glory and honor in it. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And I said, you know, that question, you know, the question about can my salvation be lost? Well, first of all, can my salvation be lost? Well, it's not your salvation in the first place. You didn't save yourself, so get off of it. That's one issue. So if you say, can I lose my salvation? Well, right now, you're already thinking wrong. You got a problem. You're thinking me, myself, and I. It's not your salvation. That salvation is a gift from God alone. And if you think you can earn that, you need to get back in the Bible. You need to get back to those basic truths again. Because it is a gift from God. And so, you know, the plot thickens. You know, it's impossible to be, you know, here it says, oh, it's impossible. You know, when you see those words, impossible, you kind of go, what? You know, here it says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. Impossible. I don't know about you, but I'm in trouble. I don't know about you, but I'm going down. All right, I'm in trouble. Is it impossible? Well, first of all, we have to look at a little bit enlightened. Enlightened, you know, you're learning these elementary truths. So certainly people do that. They go, oh, yeah, and they receive Christ, and they're going, yeah, this is good stuff. And then they tasted this heavenly gift. And we'll talk a little bit more about this tasting thing in a little bit. And Luke 8:13 is interesting because, you know, the seed, which is the word of God, is thrown out there to grow crops, right? And those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they what? They fall away. Okay? So there's things going on there. You know, a little taste here, a little taste there. I know Jesus died for me. He did this for me. I have been saved by grace, by faith. Yes. And then you go in the apostle and says, you shared in the Holy Spirit. And people are going, oh, yeah, I got the Holy Spirit. When I pray, I receive Jesus Christ, I got the Holy Spirit. There's a stamp, and I'm guaranteed I'm in. Problem is, you might not be. Or you might not think so. Because if you look at Matthew 21, it says that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? It can't be done without the Holy Spirit. Right? And in your name, drive out demons. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit, I couldn't do that, right? And in your name, perform many miracles without the Lord's power. I couldn't do that, right? Then I will tell them, and this is the Lord's words, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Oh, what's going on? Shoot, I thought I was in. Got the Holy Spirit in me. No way. This is shocking. If I have the Holy Spirit, I'm in. I tasted the goodness of the Word of God. Remember that sharp sword? It strikes down to the depths of our souls and it really exposes our thoughts and even the intentions of our hearts. See, to help us understand where we really stand, because even though we might be those who are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, we might look godly, we might do miracles, we might prophesy, we might go to church every Sunday, we might read our Bibles every day, we might pray, we might do some of these things, but the problem is, you look at it, but denying its power, having nothing to do with such people, because it all comes down to me, myself, and I. Our hearts sometimes trick us so badly that we think we're in. But we prophesy, we do miracles, we do other things, maybe not from the power of God, because our hearts really are not sold out. See, you go back to that taste. Did I keep on doing that? There's an issue here. See, if you turn your books to John, Bibles to John, and you look at verse 51, and Jesus is talking to, and he's got a lot of disciples following him at this time. All right, so it's looking pretty bad for us right now. And we could be one of these guys too. It says there in 650, John chapter 6, verse 51, it says, this is Jesus' words, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Okay, he's really saying, I'm dying for you. I'm going to die for you. I'm giving up my body for you. Eat of me. See, the thing is if you see what they're using here, they're saying taste. There's a little difference between tasting and eating, isn't there? Because you see that person up there on top, they're taste testing a pie. You know, you don't eat the whole thing. You just do a little this, right? You take a little bit. Oh, yeah, I like the flavor, the texture is such good, and you know, stuff like that, right? And then they rate it. And then they go and wash their mouths out, and then they go to the next one. See, we have a tendency to just taste of the Lord. When you just taste of the Lord, your heart isn't really sold out. It might look like it, you're tasting of him. You taste that and see that he is good. But then there's that point in time where you come up to what's called a crisis of belief. And are you going to take another bite? Or are you going to put your face right into that pie and just chew it all down and get into it fully to where he comes into your life and there's a true relationship between the Lord in you, yeah? And as we have that true committed relationship and we're full out eating that whole pie, yeah, we're going to still look like, you know, some of us are going to look like we're not following Christ at times. It's just Christian life. We go up and down. You know, we look like we got it done. And sometimes we say something stupid. We do something stupid. Whatever it is, we fall down. But it doesn't mean that you're following Christ. There's other people that walk into church every day looking good. They're saying the right words. They go home and then they live a life other than that of Christ. So when you taste and taste and taste, you get a little bit here and there, but it's not going to go down here. See, when you eat that full pie, you get the whole texture. You get all the flavor. You get it all. You're sold out. You're done. I'm eating it. It's gone. It's mine. I'm a part of it. He's part of me. And that's what Jesus wants. He wants to fill us. And he wants us to be fully in him, fully committed. And not just little tasters of this. I've seen so many people in my lifetime, people taste a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and say, oh, Jesus here, oh, Buddha here, oh, Hinduism here, oh, a little bit of, you know, whatever. New agey stuff, whatever is out there. Remember the gospel of the 21st century? I think, I'm not sure if that's the next one. He's okay. He is living out his own truth. That's the gospel of today that so many people live. But here, Jesus is saying another thing. And in 60, he says, he's talking to his disciples, say, all those people, and he says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? See, they've been following him for how long? I don't know how many. You know, these are all the disciples, not just the 12, but there's many, right? And they're starting to have, they're tasting, and they're going, but they're going, oh, this is kind of a hard teaching. I don't know if I can go through with it. Aware, and then further here in next verse says, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Does my teaching offend you? Did you know that you do not earn your own righteousness? Do you know that you cannot save yourself? Do you know that you can't buy your way in, do your way into heaven? Do you know that you're not good enough? Do you know that you need to actually open your heart and surrender to me and ask me into your life? Do you know that you need to actually turn from evil, shun it, and fear the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom? Do you know that you need an actual heart change and a new life? And they're going, I don't know. Your taste isn't so tasty anymore. You had some good bread out there, Jesus, but ooh, I think I hit one of the, you know, you ever eaten some bread and sometimes you get that baking powder all one clump in there, you know, you just kind of bite in and go, ooh. You know, or the blah rah, you know, coming at you there. Yeah. Well, 66 says this. It says, for this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. See, those who are truly following Christ, yeah, we'll wobble and we'll go up and down, but we're not going to, you know, there might be some slipping away and maybe even some falling away. And that's because that's on us. That's on us. Because God's not running away anywhere. He's not changing. He already sent a son. His love is there. His love is for every single person in this world, no matter how bad of a sinner you think you are. And you might be. You might have fallen away. You might have been slipping away. You might have been going ups and downs. The good thing about the Lord is this. Well, maybe we need to go into this. Apostasy. You've heard the word probably. It's a weird word, but this is the definition. A total rejection of Christianity by a baptized person. Okay? This is somebody that showed commitment in front of the congregation, in front of people. Publicly, committing themselves to Christ, having at one time professed Christian faith and publicly rejecting it. That means they turned away. Some people might get up on a soapbox or out on a media and they'll just blast, well, oh, Jesus, he's false. This is nothing. You know, then, you know, that's, you know, boom. That's pretty easy. But then there's also silent apostate where people just turn away and they start doing their own thing again. And that's publicly rejecting because their family sees it and their coworkers see it and their community sees it. Oh, he used to go to church, but now look at him. See, this apostasy is very, very hard to shake off. When you start doing that, when your heart turns that far away from the Lord, it looks impossible, right? It looks impossible to repent. It does. And the thing is, it's true. If you look at the Word of God, you look at the Word of God and you look at Mark 10, 17, I think, or 27, when they're talking about when Jesus was talking with that rich young ruler. And then he said these surprising words to his disciples. He said, well, hey, the rich man, it's hard for them to get into the kingdom of God. And they're going, what? They're already blessed. Look how rich they are. God blessed them. There must be on God's, God's right there with them. He's going, no, they'd have to be like a camel going through the eye of a needle. You know what the eye of a needle is? I mean, have you ever sewed? You see how little that is? It's hard for me to get this the little thread through. And he's saying, it is impossible for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God because their heart's not ready. They're on their own. They're doing their own thing. They're relying upon their own thing. They have their own idols. They have their own kingdom being built. They don't have anything to do with God's kingdom. And the disciples are going, wow, we're done for. And he says, yeah, you're right. This is impossible for man. Impossible for man. You're right. But all things are possible with who? With God. And praise the Lord for this. Because that is the twist. See, a lot of us don't see it. We don't admit it because we want to rely upon me, myself, and I. And my program and my agenda and my goodness and my the way I like it. My Burger King style, right? Yeah. Nothing is impossible with God. And if it wasn't for God, it would be impossible for us to repent. Because remember, salvation isn't ours to give. It is a gift that we receive. Mysteriously at that. Mysteriously at that. Faith is a gift. I didn't earn it. I didn't think it out. I didn't do it on my own. Faith is also mysterious, that gift. It's God's working because where is he looking? At your good deeds, how you go to church every day? Is that how does it for him? Does he go, oh, I'm pleased with you. You're a good churchgoer. Oh, you read your Bible every day. Oh, you've done miracles in my name. Oh, you've cast out demons in my name. He's going, oh, you're getting this point, this point, this point, this point, this point. And then if he looked at the rest of my life, go, oh, man, you did that. Oh, minus this, minus that, minus that. No, God isn't that way. No, take that out of your lives because that's the world, the point system of the world. No, put it back in your heart that it is by grace that we have been saved through faith alone. And this is a mystery, and this is the grace of God, and this is the compassion of God that he shows to his people, to people he chooses. And we don't know who's choosing because he is God. And so we fall down before a holy God and go, why did you even choose me? Because I am nothing better than anybody else in this world. And yes, that is true. And maybe even a little worse. Because his grace alone and his plan to use our lives, right? To use our lives. So it doesn't come down, you know what? It doesn't come down where people get angry at God and say, you do like this. You did this to me. You took her away from me. You took him away from me. You did this to me. I lost my job. I hate you. You're not my father. How many times have we said that in our own hearts? You know what? We got it all wrong. We got to look at ourselves in our own mirror. God's heart didn't change. His heart is this. He doesn't want any to perish. All to come to repentance. Remember repentance? Remember that word, that basic, foundational, elementary truth that we suck on with the Bible? I mean, the bottle? Bottle Bible? Repentance is it's where you really go, oh, I'm a sinner. I did this real bad thing. And then you start turning to God. And you go, I'm turning. God, forgive me. And you just start, there's a turning. There's a turning back to God. That's repentance. There's an actual turning. You could see it like in that tax collector, Zacchaeus. Remember when he God called him out of the tree to come down to eat with him? Well, he says, you know what? All the bad things I've done, I'm going to repay him back double. I stole a lot of money. I'm going to give him double. That's repentance. His heart has been changed. He's not turning back that way anymore. Repentance. So God isn't the one. God isn't the problem in this whole thing. He's the same God, unchangeable. His love is true and powerful and for all. He's saying, come to me. You know, you look at Jesus, John the Baptist, Jesus' words, Peter's words, repent and believe. Now you come into the kingdom of God. Now, oops, I think I went too far back. I like those. It comes down to our hearts. You know that? Can you lose your salvation? Well, it's not yours. You find yourself falling away, even in apostasy, and you finally come to your senses. You know what? When your heart finally says, Lord, I need help. Forgive me. And you start turning away from that. God's there. See, even when it looks so bad, He is so good that He's able to forgive us, even in our apostasy. Though in our own strength, in our apostasy, turn and fall away from God, it's hard for us to turn, right? The heart, what was that Lisa gave me here? Your hearts are like this. You want to feel it? It's pretty hard. Your heart gets hard like this. It's hard for you to repent. It's hard. It's hard to go back to Jesus. There's a lot of humility in that. There's a lot of surrender. There's a lot you have to go through to come back. When you get your heart this hard, it's impossible, in fact, for us to be able to turn this heart back to softness. It's impossible for us. But nothing's impossible for God. Nothing. Nothing. Even somebody that's been railing against God for years, God's grace is all the same. Abounds. And then that mystery between God's heart and our and those hearts, those hard hearts, whether there be a changing and a repentance to that. Because this is God. God makes impossible. Because back there in verse 3 and chapter 6, it says, and God permitting, we will do so. So we need God. See, we need God to move on. We need God to be saved. We need God to be repentant. Without Him, we can't. It's just impossible. And then he said there in John 15, he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There has to be a relationship. A heart-to-heart relationship there. Without it, we can't bear fruit. We can't, these crops won't be born out. It'll just wither and then burned up. Right? There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. By the grace of God, let's gain heaven, right? And all of this. And so people say, oh, it's impossible, right? I go, no. Nothing's impossible, God. You know what's impossible? Hey, look, read. Hey, you all read it. 1, 2, 3.
Eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me.
That's impossible. Nobody can snatch one of his own from his hand. Once he has you in the palm of his hand, that's it. Now, the lives carnal Christians can look pretty bad, you know, or people, Christians who are being sanctified and move and change, yeah. But once you're in his hand, that is it. Thing is, though, in Philippians, it talks about continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It is a present day, moment-to-moment reality that we have to do. Because as Reverend Brad Sickler was talking about when he was a chaplain in the Marines, one thing they had when they left their encampment there in Iraq is a sign that says, complacency kills. So if you get complacent in your own walk with Christ, be careful. You think you're saved? Be careful lest you fall. It's always good to continue in a repentant state before the Lord and continue to ask Him into our lives and to fill us and to guide us and to teach us and to show us and use our lives. Don't rely upon yourself because God has never turned away a repentant heart. You read the whole Bible. I haven't seen one instant. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. Look at that guy, man. How many times did he give him a chance to confess God as sovereign, Lord of all? 3 times anyways. That guy, you know, he was a pagan. He was learning something new. He got it at the end. I really believe we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar at the end in heaven. He really changed. His heart was changed. Ever turned away repentant heart. So whatever state you're in, when you finally come to your senses and you come back to the Lord, He's there. He's not going to say, sorry, too late. Sorry, too many sins. You fell away from me. You said this and that about me. Like that. Yeah. No, God isn't like that. I am. You do that to me and you come up there, I'm kicking you out. I say, yeah, good for you. Get out of here. You find your own life somewhere. You already blew it with me. The trust factor is done. It's going to take a long time to build up that trust. God's not like that. I mean, there's a trust that has to be built up, but it's our trust with Him, right? God's not relying upon us. Hit the Bible, Jim. Hit it. Do you see me there? Hit the Bible, Jim. Get into the Word, because you know what it says there? Going back to chapter 5 in Hebrews, it's this. You want to move on to maturity? Get that solid food. It says, who by constant use of what? The Word of God. Get into the constant use. Your Bible, this is my pretty Bible. I don't really mark it too much, but you look at my other one, my study Bible. Mark it up, write it up, tear it up, whatever you need to do. Get into the Word of God. Get into it. Because that's going to train you, and you're going to be able to distinguish between good and evil. And you're going to look very different in this world. You're going to look very different from your family members going, whoa, what? You're not doing that anymore? And putting His word into practice. Remember these words? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Get into the Word. Constantly use it. Pray it. Pray it. I've been praying about this medical thing going on in a medical center to be revised. Now we get this news. I've been praying about this PT to be able to be closer in for Max and Erica. State College. This is an awesome God that we serve. And that's just a little bit. You talk about me, myself, and I. Ooh, scary stuff. If I got real with you. Another thing, not only do you need to hit the Bible, Jim, and use His word constantly and so you can distinguish good and evil, but you know what you need to do? Start trusting. Because you know what? It is impossible, not only for God, for anybody to take us out of His hand once we're there, it is impossible. It's impossible for God to be what? Unjust. He's not a God that will forget our good deeds, our love for others, and our love for Him. He's not going to forget that. And he doesn't lie. He doesn't dangle the carrot and go, oop, sorry, can't have it. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't need to. So remember that, God. That's part of him. That's our Father, right? He's our Father. And imitate those who are faithful, the faithful who have gone before us. We might know a lot of people in our own lives that we've seen them walk a faithful witness to Christ through all types of situations, through all types of turmoil, sickness, or whatever it is. They made it to heaven. The hope, our wonderful hope in Christ, our wonderful treasure, that portion that is forever, that is Christ, that's heaven, that inheritance that he has for us. They made it. So let's imitate him like an Abraham. Look at his life. If you need an example other than what we see in front of us sometimes, look at his life. You see an example of faith, persevering, continuing. And this, don't forget, our hope in Christ Jesus is immovable. It is secure and it is confident. So if you're going, oh, I don't know if I'm saved, or oh, I don't know if Jesus, I just don't know about this hope and stuff like that. Well, he is a true anchor in our lives that we can always rely upon. Why? Because he is our, if you go on to that last part of this chapter, it says, he is our forerunner. I'm in the wrong place. I'm looking at John. It says here, let me see there, where am I? He enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, he's not just our representative. Remember, high priests are representatives, and so they go in there and to do their stuff and before God and help us out. No, he's our forerunner. You know what he's doing? He's entering into the most holy place, and now he's going like this. Come, join me. Come before the Father and join me. He's not saying, nope, you can't do it. I represent you. You stay away. No, he's saying, I'm entering in and you can too. Come. I'm the forerunner. You're okay. Come into the presence of the Creator God, Creator of the universe. And have you ever seen Louis Giglio and his thing about the indescribable God? Have you ever seen that? One day, maybe I'm going to have to show it here. Blow you away. This, the universe he created, will blow you away. It's amazing. Our God is awesome. Our God is awesome. Secure, confident. And don't forget, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. Listen to this. The Lord knows those who are his. You can't fake your way into it. You think you can fake your way into it? You know, so if you're in that spot right now, you're still kind of going, Christian, tasting Jesus, like that. You know, hey, praise the Lord that you're here. Tasting and getting a feel. But then now you got to take it another step. Now you got to get real with the God. Where are you with him? Do you really hunger to know him more and to experience his love and the power of his word in your life? Is that showing in your life? Get real with him. Repent. If you need to repent, repent. He'll receive you. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. That's repentance right there. Turn away from it. Turn away from your pride. Turn away from what you rely upon in this world, what you bank on in this world. You bank up on the bank of me, myself, and I. But God is saying, no, turn everything over to the bank, the royal bank of Jesus Christ. Turn it over to him. He will not fail you. In fact, the blessings are abounding. Nothing is impossible with our God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Yeah, because I know in my own walk, there's times I'm going, wow, did I just lose my salvation? But Lord, I was thinking all along wrong, because it doesn't depend upon me. Not in that respect. The salvation is from you. It is by your grace that we have been saved, that I have been saved. And I thank you for that. Thank you for these words. Thank you that you are always there for a repentant heart. No matter how far we have gone, fallen away from you, when our hearts get broken before you and we truly repent, you receive that and you allow us to come to you. The forerunner is just saying, come before the Father. And he'll use our lives to be a blessing to those around us. Praise you, Father, that there is, that you always are the same God, this God that makes the impossible possible because of your great love for us. Praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say, amen. Amen.